Good morning. We had Michael with us for a little while. He had to give up his practice because his kids were screaming in the other room. Yeah, there are certain times that practice is easier, like 3 o'clock in the morning. I would like to bring into focus, what are the pillars that are hewn from the ancient forest of Buddha knowledge that make up the raft that takes us across samsara to the other shore? These are the Mahayana tradition, the six perfections. And they are, of course, generosity, moral conduct or taking precepts, patience, diligence, meditation, and wisdom. So one cannot divide these up into six. You can't just grab one of these and make it to the other shore. They have to be tied together. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about diligence. Without vows and aspiration, one can easily become lax in one's dedication or diligence about their practice. In these talks that I give, there is not two. So there's not me and you. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. So I am not separate from this lackadaisical, selfish, lazy way of going through the world. I'm quite capable of giving up my practice because, oh, it's just too hot, or I'm tired today, or, you know, you could say, well, I have a headache, I have physical discomfort, whatever. Attitudes like these come from basic laziness. But vows, they're different from fulfilling a desire, yet they're not different. They're just a different form of desire. When desires are based on attachment, wanting to fill something up that seems empty in your life by pursuing it, such as a better job, a better relationship, more money, whatever. These are all temporary aspects of our ordinary lives. They come and they go, and they're also involved in our suffering, right? So when we don't get our desires fulfilled, then we suffer. Vows are different in that we don't expect to necessarily fulfill them. We just took the four bodhisattva vows. Bodhisattvas are beyond desire nature. They don't have desire to accomplish saving all sentient beings. That's part of your delusion. Sentient beings inherently save all sentient beings as being bodhisattvas. It's not something that you accumulate, produce through some sort of willful working at it. Yet, it is something that you work at diligently to get to where you want to be. So it isn't and it is. Like everything else, you cannot make it into a duality, a this or a that. As soon as you do, your raft is falling apart. The highest form of a vow is an ultimate vow that is made continuously, and that is to attain Buddhahood for the sake of others. With diligence, one perseveres in helping sentient beings, regardless of whatever calamity or obstacle may occur. It's a constant presence or mindfulness of what is happening right now. It's and being totally engaged. So when we reflect on our physical condition, and it's obvious that things are changing constantly and that things are limited and impermanent. But with diligence, it's possible with limited resources to accomplish unlimited results. That's because we're not dealing in the world of limitation. The Bodhisattva is beyond the world of limitation, not confined by this or that, because this or that is duality and not just one, not two. So when you get out of the way with your ideas, your thoughts, and you're acting and taking care of something, you're amazed at how quickly you can get something done. It's getting out of the way. In other words, you're not the actor. You're not doing or making something out of something. You're in the process of flowing with what's present in such a way that it's like shining a flashlight on a dark place and seeing what's there. So there's no effort. It's just light shining on what is darkness and seeing what's there. There are three kinds of diligence. The first is diligence that's like armor. The second is diligence that is able to gather all virtues. And the third is the diligence that benefits all sentient beings. So the first one, diligence that's like armor, manifests as fearless courage, enabling one to overcome all obstacles. One sees no enemy because nothing appears as an obstruction. When assigned a task, some people complain before even getting started. Oh, I see too many problems with this. I don't know. I don't think I can do this. But there are others who take all impediments and difficulties as part of the process of spiritual growth and learning. They perceive problems as opportunities to enhance their own skills. As a result, they profit from even the most difficult challenges. Such people are practicing the paramita of diligence. Next kind of diligence is virtuous diligence. Practitioners who engage in this type of diligence uses the experience of body, speech, and mind, and all the phenomena in the environment as opportunities to practice. So being virtuous is taking the opportunity to experience everything, body, speech, mind, phenomena in the environment as a way to practice. Being present. Practice is always. It's not just when you decide to do it over here or decide not to do it. It's every moment, all the time. This is genuine diligence. A diligent practitioner's eyes are wide open for opportunities to practice anywhere at any time. If they miss an opportunity to practice, they will chase it down and grab it. And the third kind is compassionate diligence. Compassionate diligence is what benefits sentient beings. This is the diligence of great bodhisattvas who pursue sentient beings, whether they're in hell or heaven or any other realm of existence, to ensure that they will gain liberation. Bodhisattvas don't want anything from sentient beings, and they are not there to impose any ideas on them or force anything upon them. When we try to make something, when we try to impose our will by saying we're doing what's in your best interest, it's probably not. So diligence was one of those of the six paramitas that I always kind of gloss over, because I think for me, it's the more difficult one to really admit that I am lacking in, that practice is all the time without stopping. That's diligence. Always recognizing that your life is practice. It never stops. And I think that's really helpful, because even though the kids may be screaming in the other room and you have to get up off the cushion right now, having that peaceful sit can lead to anger and resentment when there's that attachment to it. That's practice. The paramitas are not separate. Each one of them, patience, generosity, wisdom, it's all part of the same raft that's taking us to the other shore. You can't separate them. Diligence is one of them, and you have to be diligent in your practice.
I will. So nice to see you. Thank you. Great to have you back. What was occurring to me was my present situation as I've becoming more and more, devoting more and more time to caretaking. And it's like the perfect lesson for me. This would be number 11 on my list of 10 things that I'd like to do. So anyway, when you were talking about diligence, I started thinking about, I think what I'm coming out of this with is that I have to accept that I'm never going to be perfect. I can't do these things, you know, to the extent that maybe I would picture in my mind. You know, I'd like to be able to perform better. And because to perform at all and do these things, I'm accomplishing something, I'm helping. And so rather than say, well, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all, I should continue to do the best that I can.
When we are identified with our sense of self so strongly that that's what we experience, it's filtered. So my question is, and this is the same question I asked myself, who is it that's experiencing this? Our practice is constantly letting go, but what are we letting go of? It's not letting go of something out there. It's letting go of our idea of what we are capable of or not capable of. I'm not saying you should try to be perfect. I know exactly what you mean. I'm with you. You know, I'm not perfect either, and I will never meet the expectations of people around me. And if I try, and I think that that will make me a better human being or feel better about myself, it isn't going to happen. So taking myself out of the equation in the moment, as you know, will, the ego, that has all these ideas of how things ought to be, is really difficult. And we spent a lifetime becoming this. So being clear like space in that moment of doing service. Washing the dishes is way too easy. It's not the same as washing somebody's feet or they're wiping their ass because they can no longer wipe their own ass. I understand that's not a good comparison, but the dishes are just dishes. Wiping the ass is just that, wiping an ass. I mean, it's not all the other stuff we put on it. And I'm not suggesting that it's not difficult at all. I'm just trying to be helpful and say, look, if you can recognize that there's this entity that's not real, making judgments and assessments of the situation as you go along, and don't identify so strongly with that person, you might get through the experience a little bit better. So I guess what I'm getting at is one aspect of diligence in getting back to practice is practice all the time. Part of our practice is to recognize, to not identify with this idea of self. It's just not a reality. It's a constantly changing, morphing, habitual energy pattern based on, you know, so many things that have happened. And, you know, and we're still trying to solve it. We're still trying to solve the difficulty of things that didn't work the way we would like. And it's unsolvable from that place of ego and memory and history. And you just do what you can and recognize that in that not being perfect part is, yes, I'm still strongly identified with my body and my experience, and I have likes and dislikes, and they get in the way. That's what's happening. That's my practice.
I love what you said about the fact that we're always practicing, because I think that, like, I get under this illusion of, okay, I sat on the pillow, I invested so much time, and now I'm going to have a lovely day. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And of course, what you said is true, and it's all lovely. It can be very difficult.
Yeah.
And it continues.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you.